Good afternoon. Thank you all for joining us today. I'm Steve Morrison, Senior Vice President here at CSIS and head of our Global Health Policy Center. And I want to welcome you all and thank you all for coming out for this very important event here today. And we're really delighted and honored that we can host Dr. Kiyoshi Kurokawa here today and his colleague William Saito to hear a presentation and have a discussion with you all about the Fukushima Nuclear Accident Independent Investigation Commission. As you all probably know, this was an unprecedented independent investigation commissioned by the Diet, and it very much reflected the passionate commitment that Dr. Kurokawa brought to this entire issue around the need to conduct something of this type and to push, as he will explain, to come up with a set of causal explanations that went beyond, I believe, the normal categories of explanation. And I won't speak for him, but I think what resulted was quite provocative, quite unusual, and historic, really, in the gravity of the analysis and the conclusions that were reached and the precedent that this sets for the Diet for the future and the relationship that he was able to establish across Japan with an interested public that participated at an unprecedented levels through his creative, determined effort to open this process to public participation and review. The commission was established on December 8th of last year. It had a very short string. It completed its work by July 5th. Dr. Kurokawa and William Saito and some of their colleagues were here at CSIS for a brief visit in April in the mid-course. And I must say I was astonished that you were able to pull this all together in such short time and congratulate you on that. And at that point in April when we did have the chance to speak together briefly, we discussed about the importance of Dr. Kurokawa coming to Washington at the appropriate moment in order to talk about this experience, talk about what the implications are, and talk about what this means for American interests, because that's an issue that has been on the table as well, and that it's important also that he be able to establish a dialogue up on Capitol Hill and in other key institutional settings here in Washington, which he's been very successful at doing. Dr. Kurokawa is the professor of the National Graduate Institute for Policy Studies and is science advisor to the Cabinet of Japan. I believe he's been the chief science advisor for three prime ministers.
Two.
Two prime ministers.
Two, yes.
He has many different titles over the years that have distinguished his performance as a medical researcher and practitioner, as a policy advocate on science and biomedical policies by the Japanese government and elsewhere. He has a long-standing and deep relationship to American society and American medicine and scientific research, many years at UCLA, and he's become a very good friend of ours here. And I thank you both for being with us today. The format that we're going to pursue this afternoon is I'm going to slip away and ask Dr. Kurokawa to do a quick opening presentation, an overview on the commission and its findings and recommendations. And after that, my colleague, Nicholas Sengenji, the Deputy Director of the Japan Chair, who's with us here today, has kindly agreed to moderate a discussion that will follow after that. And over the course of that moderated discussion, we'll offer you the chance to offer your comments and questions as part of this. We will have to end our time here, I think no later than 4:30 is our plan. We may have a little bit of a margin of a few minutes at the back end of that. I want to thank Molly Schmaltz back from CSIS and Julia Nagel from CSIS for their effort over the last several weeks in pulling this event together, and I want to thank you all for being with us. So, Dr. Kurokawa, why don't we just shift seats here, and you can move over there, and I'll move over here.
This is yours.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody, and just thank you for coming to listen to what I like to say, and also like thank CSIS to setting such a thing during my brief visit to Washington, D.C. Let's say one good news. I think our report of Fukushima Commission, and its English version is up on the online today. So you can see the each detail of each chapters. And in fact, when we submitted this report in Japanese full text to Japanese Diet, both houses, in July 5th, I think at the same time also we uploaded the English version of executive summary, which is different from Japanese, because in Japanese version, full text was there, so you could see the full text. But English version, we couldn't do that, so I think this is a different version. We like to convey the entire text content and core message we like to convey to the global audience. That was the objectives of English summary, English brief, executive summary at that time. But now I'm very happy to announce you that I think entire text in English version has been uploaded today. So you could see the detail and each chapter if you are so interested in a different aspect of this report. Okay, I'd like to briefly summarize and just go over the entire process and the contents of our report. And this is, so if you have just NAIC, Nike, JP or Nike, just Nike and just Google it, just you can reach this website. And I think this is, I'd like to have a story with you. Next slide. Okay, Nike, what is Nike? I think when this nuclear accident, that was obviously followed and triggered by huge earthquake and tsunami, with maybe once in maybe one centuries, but I think 1 hour later of this tsunami, I think just as the Fukushima nuclear began to happen, and that's both disaster, triple disaster is also almost very difficult to manage for any government, any leadership in the magnitude. But I think this accident was in this time of the world, I think everybody watched TVs and internet and communicated everyone, so that really exposed the strengths and weakness of Japanese establishment. And you followed all the statement and every day, at least more than a few times, of Chief Cabinet Secretary of this announcement. Although this announcement on TV has been done in Japanese, everybody just like to know what he was saying so that translated right into the English and all the different languages and see what happens. And also TV in Japan and also elsewhere, and Twitters and also social network sending a different message. And everybody was concerned. Of course, TEPCO also host every day many open press briefs. But also that is was in Japanese, but I think everybody is sending a message. And after a week or two, I think it became obvious. I think everybody was very impressed by the calmness of Japanese many common people on the ground in response to this tsunami and massive earthquake and all the things. They are very working calm, and that was very impressive. On the other hand, all the leadership in government and industry and so-called scientists who make a comment on TVs and media begin to lose the trust of the people, trust by the people, and all the global sort of leadership, because when you translate it into English, I think all the message pressed by the Chief Cabinet Secretary are not much substance, and we can follow that in the tweet and other thing. So during that time, I think, because this is a very shocking event, because this happened in Japan, which is number three economy, and the nation with a pride in science and technology and engineering. So that means that really has a major impact in the rest of the world because of the nuclear renaissance and climate change, and there will be a more plan to build a nuclear plant operation. But I think after several months of deliberations, and I also just approached the cabinet and also legislators and this time of such a relevant to the global world, you have to really commission, government had to commission independent international commission task force to investigate this thing, but I think it was not happening. But I think some legislators begin to work on this thing, the possibility, and which then 6 months later, that's become a reality. And last October, I think that became first time in the law in the Japanese government, this independent commission was created by the parliament, both houses, and that unanimously passed with these 10 commissioners, which I was not involved in the choosing this commissioner. That's more political. So they asked all the political parties to nominate certain nuclear engineers and this and that. They negotiated so that list of 10 members went through unanimously by the Diet, and we commissioned in December 8th. That session in the Dietary House of this ceremonial thing, I guess I have to give first 3 minutes remarks on this commission. I made this commission with the three keywords. One is people, one is future, one is the world. And to the people, I said, I recognize this commission is a commission of the people, by the people, and for the people. And why I said that in legislature, just I have so tried to send a message. And second is the future, but to look into the future, we have to study the history of Japanese nuclear. And third is the globe. Global is because this is such a global relevance, so that we like to make this forum format quite open. And also for the process and the result, we like to share the best practice and knowledge from the world community, so that if we're going to continue, I think if we need to continue build a nuclear plant as an energy source, then we have to have a much better system than sharing, and lessons learned have to be shared for the global community. So then I think we have started in December 8th with 10 commissioners, but only 6 staff who works in this dietary house, like both houses, 3 each. So I think we had to start from scratch. So the first press brief, I said, this is the mission impossible to do it in 6 months. But I think we are given this mandate, so we had to do that. Okay. All right. So this implication is first, this is the first in Japan's constitutional history independent investigation commission, although this was not international commission, but by perhaps during this time, I think all commissioners were Japanese. And they are charged us to deliver this result, at least report, in 6 months. So that's the reason I thought this is a mission, is mission impossible. Their mandates include investigate direct and indirect causes of the accident, independent from any political influences, so that when any politician or legislator or some senior civil service, particularly from Minister of METI or Minister of Education and mixed, I think who may have some relation with nuclear background, also policies, I think they are in principle not allowed, but I think they could allow us, they could reach us, and also we could communicate with them, but I think we have to make a record of when we contacted this or just on what issue. That record is become fairly open every month. I think that's up on the website of this Dietary House. And also second charge was response and damages and sequence of events and actions taken and its effectiveness. Third is a history of decisions and approval processes regarding nuclear energy policies of Japan and recommend measures to prevent future nuclear accident. So that's our mandate. And to start this such a mission, there are a few major issues we really have to address and make something happen. One is recruitment of our staff. And each commissioner, if they wish, they could invite some of the sort of co-investigators, their own staff, maybe 3, 4, 5 perhaps. And so that process also have to go over some of the bureaucratic system of dietary staffs. Second is the security issue. I think everybody, almost everyone, is not working, has some job, so it's not a full-time thing. And also many staff are not working full-time. In Japanese system, who would work for this dietary as a public service for just 6 months? And I think it's a very difficult thing in Japanese system. So that everybody is not full-time, so the security become an issue because everybody uses emails and communicate with mobile phone more likely and work during the night and send many documents and share documents with sort of computers, laptop. So that I think we worked very hard on that regard. I think William Saito is that who is an expert on this IT security. So that was very helpful in initial phase. So we, I think, had a lease of like 90 laptop or something with double security, and we give everybody, you had to use that. And you cannot use other laptop and computers or your Mac or whatever, that you had to do that. It's a 2.9 kilogram heavy, so but you had to carry this, which is a bit of hardship for them. And also provide a mobile phone to everybody. Just use this mobile phone only as far as this any conversation on this commission is concerned. And all this email and other thing on this laptop computer is just in the disk right now and will be securely stored somewhere. And they have to decide when we can open this thing, and that is another issue. Lobbying, I think whenever any contact and telephone conversation, I think we just make a record and on what subject we contacted such a legislator, this and that. That's on the record. And also transparency is a key for the accountability. So every commissioner meeting was open to the public and also all the media, and that's also online. And also except for first one, I think all the commissioner meeting was official committee meeting was on provided with simultaneous English translation so that you can see entire session, including the session with Prime Minister Khan and Chief Cabinet Secretary Edano-san, and also at that time of Minister of Economy and Trade and Industry, and also like Katsumata-san, TEPCO's top, and also Shimizu-san, CEO of TEPCO at that time, and all the open. So I think you could view this with English translation. And that's all the principle I think we operated our commission. And after this initial maybe 2 months, that was very difficult, but I think we asked every commissioner to just give us 2 days so that 10 days later, we together went to Fukushima Daiichi plant and also some deserted area on that also decontamination effort for 2 days. And Fukushima, I think we had a first meeting and some briefing. And at the end of this 6 months, we conducted 900 hours hearings and interviews with more than 1,000 people, and 9 nuclear power plants visit, and 3 overseas research teams, and including myself to Washington, D.C., and also Wilmington, South Carolina, which is the GE nuclear headquarter, and also Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is a training center for Nuclear Commission, Nuclear Regulatory Commission of the U.S., and also 2 teams went to Europe, and also like Belarus and Chernobyl and other places. And another one is evacuee survey, which is given in English translated English executive summary, which was published in July 5th, but that you can see that online. That was very interesting, and this is very informative information in that survey. On-site worker survey, more than 2,000 people. That also gave us a lot of insights into the reaction and response of this operator at that very hard time, lack of electricity, tsunami, and a lot of earthquakes following this huge one. And so that's just a go and back and forth, and that's a very difficult situation for anyone. And town meeting, there's a 3 evacuated town with many evacuated villagers, other thing, and this is open a session with them. And also you can view, and we see, we heard many, many issues with these evacuees. And all commission meeting were broadcasted live on the internet with English translation, so that's on the record, so you can access to that and you can see it. What we did not do, because of it was not included in the mandate, and also lack of time, so just we are not addressing anything on these issues primarily. Future energy policy of Japan, including promotion or abolition of nuclear power, this was not a mandate. damage compensation or decontamination issues, and specific processes on this issue are not discussed, and also decommissioning of Japan nuclear reactors and decommissioning processes, technology, and treatment, disposition of used nuclear fuel rods and other things. So we did not address this. But I think during this 6 months process, and also it started 6 months after 9/11, there's many documents in both Japanese, also some reports from abroad, like INPO and also IAEA and NRC, and we scanned some of many reports, and these many reports are very insightful and helped research in this mandate. And also in many books and reports appeared in Japanese almost every week. And I think that was a very much a learning experience of this, how the nuclear policy developed in the past, also the unions and the many, many different aspects of the history and operation of Japanese nuclear plant and policies. And I think a report consists of six chapters, but I think we tried as much as possible the report, more than 2,000 documents and all the video in TEPCO and also Federation of Electric Utility Companies. I think they are private sector, so they could reject a request to view this, but I think when they refuse, then just I list all the things they refuse, and we ask for this and they refuse. We write all everything, so they are reasonably cooperative, so they allow us to see the document and also video. And I think when we just went to see the video of this March 15th in the morning, when Prime Minister Khan went to TEPCO headquarters for 1 hour, and somehow this was not, the voice was not recorded in that section. So just we say it in the Open Commission meeting, all of a sudden, yes, media coverage, all the things. And eventually, I think TEPCO would allow journalism, media to come and view this with. And it's strange, even we went to Fukushima Daini plant, and this the same facility, all the records are same section, you can view that. But when I asked them why you don't have it, and somehow they said somehow the hard disk was completely full at that time, it so happened. I mean, just I wasn't sure, but that was the response we got. So I think the conclusion, I think you could see on the report in the website in English version today, as much as facts-based, and try to delete as much as possible all the commissioners' writing and their opinions and their personal sort of judgment. We try to avoid that. And I think we describe as much as possible the facts-based based on this viewing thing and also interview. And also key person, you might see that on the website in the open commission meeting. So as much as possible, we like to have described facts-based and documentation and some references to the data. And we reach a conclusion, at least this was a man-made disaster, because I think every commissioner signed this document, and I think they agreed, because man-made, not after or at the day of 3/11, but far before 3/11. That means that I go into that. And this essence is a so-called, next slide, is so-called regulatory capture. This is an economic sort of hypothesis and studied, and also expanded by Professor George Stigler of University of Chicago, and which led him to become a Nobel laureate in 1982. In the regulatory capture means government is a very powerful institution, and government has the authority to regulate, which is necessary to protect a certain sort of competition and also your own people. But when this government regulator failed to regulate an institution or organization or sector to be regulated, because regulated entity may have more information, more expertise than some time, and they may become more powerful than the government, and this is called so-called government failure. And I think if you just wiki like regularly capture what kind of George Steele hypothesis, what is the example, and Nuclear Regulatory Commission in Japan is certainly listed as such an example, and also Nuclear Regulatory Commission in the past, maybe now, I think these are also another sort of example of regulatory capture. Wall Street may be another regulatory capture. And there are many sort of failure of the government sector, and I think that happens. But I think our commission feels also some element are reasonably unique to Japan. I think that regulatory capture is fairly happens in every country, but there's some central element which may be fairly unique in Japan. And then earthquake damage possibility. I think we have really looked into the evidence and also videos and document other things of what kind of measure taken in the past by the Japanese government and also regulatory agent. And but I think in this Fukushima incident, I think everybody just flat out, there's no impact of earthquake, but everything is caused by tsunami with TEPCO's self-assessment and also government cabinet self-assessment led by Hatamura, Professor Hatamura-san, and also some other agency. They focus this is due to massive tsunami, unexpected tsunami. But that was a more like a black swan event. I mean, just if you really think about it, that was a black swan or even neon sound. They're sending a sign to the stakeholder because Japan is very prone to earthquake. A reasonably big, large earthquake of Richter scale 5 or greater, I think about 20% happens every year around Japan. So I think earthquake damage, just flat out excluding this, is a bit of too naive. And we really spend a lot of time, and there's maybe 3 or 4 indirect but fairly suggestive evidence. I think particularly number one plant in Tsukushima Daiichi went to completely blackout at least before tsunami hit, which is only a span of about 1 hour. But I think there's at least, I think we could say that. And at least I think as a nuclear plant, I think at least government and also new utility company should do at least back check and back fitting in that earthquake. And also organizational problem exists within TEPCO. And the emergency response issue by the government, that at least Prime Minister's office, how you do that, and the evacuation issue. I think there's many, many issues, I think, which could have been done at least by leadership and government and regulatory agency and also TEPCO. And public health and welfare issue remain is a major issue. And I think that these are the detailed in our report, so I'm not going to discuss that much. Public health and welfare issue and reforming the regulator is essential, and they are trying to do that at the moment. And reforming the proprietor and TEPCO is another issue, and reforming laws and regulation. If you look back the history of atomic energy-related laws, I think we discovered many faults in that time. But as the science progressed, and also experience in different countries, particularly like Three Mile Island, Chernobyl, and minor incidents and all the things, and they should have responded appropriately to any disaster. And particularly like year 2004 in December, Aceh tsunami, and that also washed one of the nuclear plant in India. And I think Japanese could have taken at least certain more preventive more resilient system in the nuclear plant. And also 9/11 happened, and 9/11 shows it's not only natural disaster, but more fragile world. That could be a great target for terrorist attack. And the U.S. has a 9/11 commission, and also U.S. also has a special session with Japanese government over this 9/11 thing and just use preparedness, so-called B-5B. And so Japanese authority knew that, but they didn't take much action of implementing such a sort of recommendation. If that was taken, perhaps at least we could have prevented such a disaster. So these are the sort of facts-based report. And we discussed fairly extensively, because this is a historical first time in the history of Japan, so that means what kind of recommendation based on this fact-based description of report, what would be the report should focus when we submitted these two houses in Japanese National Diet. So this is the seven recommendation we made. Monitoring of nuclear regulatory body by the National Diet, not necessarily the administrative one, but National Diet, and reform the crisis management system, whatever government tried to do, administrative arm tried to do, at least legislative arm should have more authority and create certain monitoring, like a standing commission or committee within legislative arm, and government responsibility for public health and welfare, and legislative arm is certainly one of the major elements of the government, and monitoring the operators, and they have certain powers, and criteria for the new regulatory body, that was a mandate, so just we suggested this, but nonetheless they went ahead and did it. And that is more like cabinet decision. Reforming laws related to nuclear energy and develop a system of independent investigation commission like this to discuss very important issue, for example, spent fuel and all the recycle policy. Why they just make all the policies within administrative arm of government? That is the question. So I think at least this kind of process empower the legislative arm to watch the performance of administrative arm. I think that is the message I think we like to really implement. At the end, I think I had to make sort of chairman's preface, and I think I wanted to mention one person, particular like Kanichi Asakawa, who was born in 1987, who then studied when he finished high school and some vocational study, which later became Waseda University. He was he got a scholarship and he was given an opportunity to study at Dartmouth, and he graduated Dartmouth, and then he went to Yale's graduate study to study history, and become a junior faculty at Dartmouth then, and went back to Yale to become eventually like professor. So he's the first Japanese who become academics and become a professor abroad, and in fact that was the Yale University. And that time I think Japan was in conflict with Russia in the early 20th century, and he wrote this conflict. I think everybody thought Japan would lose this war, but at least Japanese has a legitimacy on this conflict in the Manchuria area. And that really persuaded many U.S. policymakers and academics. And that's on the record. I think you can read his paper. It's a very moving paper. But then Japanese happened to, so that led to Roosevelt and mediation of Portsmouth Treaty. He was also invited to attend as an observer. But also after then 4 or 5 years later, just Japan went to Manchuria. And then he saw what Japan is doing in Manchuria is not right. It's not legitimate. And that's what, so I think he wrote a book, which is called Crisis of Japan in Japanese. This is the only book he wrote in Japanese. And to plea Japanese leadership, what you're doing is wrong. I'm just, it's not legitimate. And eventually, Japan is going to really antagonize China and also like America. And eventually, just please change the policy because I see what you're doing is wrong because I'm a Japanese. I have a love for Japan, but what you're doing is wrong. And because I have been pursuing my own career as an independent person in the U.S., at least abroad, so I can see that what Japan is viewed by U.S. and other sort of world community. So please correct it. If you don't do it, eventually Japan would crash with China and the U.S. and lose this battle for sure. So that happened exactly 40 years later. So that means, I think, viewing Japan as a Japanese but independent person abroad, they could see much better how the Japanese behaving and the Japanese position in the global politics. But I think there's such very few persons who carry such a career in even in this global world in Japan, because many spend the U.S. abroad, but they belong to some institution, and they go back to the same institution. So that was the weakness of Japan, and this is very unique to Japanese somehow. So that's the reason I wrote this is a Japanese sort of system, and that is one of the weaknesses of Japan. So I like to finish very soon, but I think this is more like Japanese perception of Japanese institution, and any institution or nation has certain structural governance policy, like governance structure. But in Japan, I think it looks like this. I think in my view, and most others order by function, and Japan is more like order by structure, intuitively. And if you ask many Japanese, and where's the top square, and maybe 90% would say Kasumigaseki. I don't know, Kasumigaseki means legislative arm of all the bureaucracy, ministry. And okay, then just I click this, and the same thing appears. What is this? And they would say Minister of Finance, I think 90%. That's the same everywhere. And then if you click this, where is this? This is the Office of Budget, Shukeikyoku. And then just click this, and there'll be Director General of Shukeikyoku, Budgetary Office. All right? Go back to this structure. If you want to be there, what do you do? You have to study very hard and get into University of Tokyo Law School. 4 years later, you graduate, get to Ministry of Finance, and then you go up the ladder in every year based on your year of entry through this entire ladder. Why is that? Is that norm in any other country? I don't think so. So that, if this is the case, and major companies the same, but if this is the same, when you're in charge of certain things, kacho, bucho, if something happens, there's not much motivation or incentive for you to change something, because if you fail, and you may lose your promotion track. So I think that's a risk-averse culture has been developed into that, and it's very hard to change this mindset. All right. So I think in the message of this commission, we'd like to convey is why we made this so open. And with English translation in commissioner meeting and also the report, is to share this lesson with the rest of the world, because everybody is interested to know this. That's one thing. But I think to other Japanese, I like to make this as an opportunity to change a democratic system more functioning, because every country in democratic country has some historical background, but like baseline of democracy is legislative arm, administrative arm, and judiciary arm. And each has to function and with check and balance and independently. But somehow, in my view, I think in Japanese system is more like administrative arm has very much dominant power. Every policy are produced by each ministry. By ministry, that means by definition, they are not going to change their own principle like policy each year. So that means when the world paradigm is changing, they are not really adapting this kind of change in global direction. So that this commission, independent commission, by the legislative arm, is to strengthen that legislative arm to check on the balance on this administrative arm. And that is the reason we wrote this in English. That means at least we like to share such a message with the global community so that we become more like responsible. I think Japanese have been doing reasonably okay, but I think not really adapting the changing uncertain times of this global world. So at least we need all the sort of pressure for Japanese establishment to change and adapt. And that is what we like to do, taking this commission as a momentum to beginning to change. In fact, when we reflect the Three Mile Island Kemeny report, that was a momentum of this really changing this nuclear policy and regulation of the United States. Also, it's very difficult to change. It takes time, but over the last 30 years of U.S. history, after Three Mile Island, this Kemeny report, Nuclear Regulatory Commission tried to become more independent, more power, authority, credibility, but also utility company also tried to do their best to become more accountable, although there's many, many issues. But I think at least Japan has to really keep doing this as a part of global community. nuclear issue is a very important issue, but I think that's one of the Japanese inherent issue of Japan. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Kurokawa. You covered a lot of ground in a very short period of time, and congratulations to you and your commission. It's a very comprehensive document, and I commend you for putting it out in English. It's in its entirety. I'm sure it'll be a very good resource. Very briefly, I just want to ask you a few questions to open up the discussion, and I thought I would pick up on the three themes that you articulated to the Japanese people when this process first began,
right.
People, future, and the world. My first question is on people, and it really relates to your last point about strengthening the legislative arm. And I was just curious what your expectations are for the process of regulatory reform in Japan. What your first recommendation talks about more oversight on the part of the parliament, the Diet. Do you see this evolving rapidly, or is this the beginning of a process that will develop over time? What are your thoughts on that front?
When this started, I think I do not think many Japanese understood what this means. And also even legislator, many legislators may not have understood what this means. But I think when we began operating with very much open forum, I think that has certain impact to the particular legislator and also administrative arm. And I'm not so sure. Maybe they like not to see that happens. And I think that psychologically that may be understandable. But I think unless we change, taking this incident as a change maker, I think it will be very difficult for Japan to change at least. So I think I hope this become, in retrospect, maybe 10 years from now, I think that may have been some of the trigger of the change in this governance of Japanese government.
Thank you. On the future, you made reference to one of the other reports that was commissioned, led by Mr. Hatamura, which was commissioned by the government. And there have been others. What do you see happening in terms of the debate in Japan about nuclear safety going forward? What is going to help forge a consensus on this issue?
At least I think with this Fukushima, I think many things have been known to Japanese public. For example, how nuclear operator operates and what is the business model of these operators. And nine operator has a monopoly of this electric power supplies. And not much grid has been formed. So I think people begin to realize that is what's going, what is a sort of operation and also policies and also political relevance of this energy supplying system in Japan. Second is also, I think people become keenly aware of the spent fuel issues, because I think that was completely exposed in the Fukushima nuclear, and so that there's reasonable sort of anti-nuke sentiment, but I think political leadership and also government have to work out with the context of the security issue and changing world, sort of a very complicated world affairs of fragmented world, and may more become seems to be more fragile. And I think we really require more like big view of visionary political leadership, and also like we have to really engage with the greater Japanese public, in my view. So I'm sort of responding to more interviews and writing. Also, we are writing a book on this, how we created and how we operated this commission. This is a good thing to share for the maybe for future commissions. And I think we'd like to share our views with more Japanese through media and also books and other ways, also global community too. Otherwise, I think this is a step of this more functioning democracy, in my view.
And finally, if you could speak to the global impact, mm-hmm. You know, I think it's really important for Japan not only to share the lessons mm-hmm. of the Fukushima disaster mm-hmm. with the world, mm-hmm. But also to maintain a leadership role in mm-hmm. terms of right. establishing and maintaining norms for safety
right.
Around the world.
Right.
In addition, I know your commission was not tasked with addressing the nuclear energy question.
Right.
But I think there's also a lot of interest in Japan's energy future and how mm-hmm. The lessons from this experience will translate
right.
into Japanese leadership in terms of nuclear energy. You're traveling around the world sharing these experiences. I mean, how do you think Japan should pursue its leadership role in those areas going forward?
Perhaps two things. One is I met many people, I think, many occasions, and I think the fact we delivered this online executive summary, I think it was very much easy to read, understandable. So I get many emails from my friend and some leadership in this nuclear plant and operations, and this is almost the first time for some to read such an easy to understand English report from Japanese government. And I think Norman Neureiter, who is now heading this Congressional Fukushima Investigation Commission by U.S. Congress, also I knew him, but he wrote me an email, just this is just like you, straight, very easy to understand. And I think that kind of message is very important. Also, I met with the president of WANO, which is World Atomic Association of Nuclear Operators, and Dr. Stricker. I think also he thought this commission report is very important for them to share and learn so that they could make more accountable organization as the entire nuclear operators too. So I think that kind of voices and raising awareness would help Japanese government to become more like a global partner in the changing world.
Great, thank you. Well, I'm certainly not going to monopolize the time. You've all been very patient. We've got about 45 minutes. please, if you have a question, raise your hand, identify yourself and your affiliation, and please try to be as brief as possible so that we can try to get as many questions in as we can. Please, sir, right here.
Please. Yeah, hi, Dr. Leo Bosner, disaster researcher, and thanks very much for a fine talk. My question is regarding to your recommendation number 2, where you say reform the crisis management system. I was in Tokyo during the earthquake. I was there back again this year doing a study on the disaster response itself, not the nuclear part, but the earthquake and tsunami. There's an awful lot of confusion and problems there. And the main thing seems to be that the Japan government doesn't have any, there's no Japan FEMA, there's no experienced staff or anybody at the top of the Japan government running things in disaster. So my question is, do you think this is going to be enough of a push for the Japan government to actually build some kind of crisis management, a true crisis management structure at the national level for any kind of disaster? Thank you.
I wish that would happen, but I think content and quality is a key. For example, I think they created a new nuclear safety agency with 5 commissioners, which is a good one. I think at least that is the beginning of change. But I think we are not really pushing very hard, I think, because we are not detailing how to nurture the human resource who works on Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And I think I would prefer, if somebody would like to join this, maybe for the future generation, I think maybe first youngsters should go to, let's say, Nuclear Regulatory Commission here and also UK and elsewhere, maybe for 4 or 5 years, so they have more peers network and raise the credibility and trust by your peers in the world. I mean, that is very important to build. So it's not an organizational issue. Individual has to be more responsible and sort of reviewed by your peer so you can begin to build the trust of global community. And this risk management is the same thing. Whatever you build a structure by Japanese only, whether that could be really trustworthy or not, I'm not so sure. And that is, I think, whatever organization you have to reform, and the future is more like global talent and global connectivity of individual and the credibility. That is a very important element in my view. So I think you said risk management, legal issue, there's certain legal issue, and also nuclear response, and that's also certain legal issue. I think they would, I really hope they would change this to more like fast responding, assuming that really happened. But I think also depend on the each individual ability, whether they are really trusted by global community.
Sure. Thank you. Dr. Kurokawa, I'm George Dragnich, former executive director of the International Labor Organization, the UN organization that deals with workplace issues. And before I left Geneva last year, I initiated a program with global unions, trade unions, labor unions worldwide on this issue on nuclear safety to see if we could create a culture across nuclear plants where you had top-down and bottom-up creating a joint safety culture. My question to you is, would this work in Japan? I know structurally it would. In fact, the General Secretary of RENGO, the Japanese trade union movement, actually comes out of the nuclear power industry. But a Japanese executive who I know quite well told me that the social structure is such that this, he doubts that this would work in Japan. He said that in the Japanese language, even that's used in the training manuals, creates a servant-superior relationship. And is it, I know it'll work in other countries, but would it work in Japan? Can it work in Japan?
Well, I think I tend to think so. Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And I sort of in many engagements, yes, I talk about Japanese language because every language reflects your own culture. And I think there's some peculiarity, very unique feature of Japanese language. But I think if we start writing this thing, I mean, that's become an endless thing. So I like to make it sometime. One example. In telephone conferences, fairly common use, right, in these days. But in Japanese only, telephone conference is very difficult to manage. Do you know why? Because you have to see the face of the person. Because this institution, you're fixed into one institution, right, somehow. This is a norm. So that means if your client or whatever, during this discussion, you have to watch this face. If he, your superior seems to be not agreeing with your opinion, then you have to change somehow at the end. And but Japanese somehow is many Japanese know that. Well, would know that. But in Japanese, if you see somebody's face is some unhappy, then you can say in Japanese, "ではありませんよね?" とか言って、you can deny. So, but in body language and the face, and also. We are not starting, I do believe or I don't believe, but it's not coming first, at the coming end. So you can change this thing. That's strange. That's the reason just telephone teleconference would not work in Japanese context.
I'm Deborah Runkle with the American Association for the Advancement of Science. I've read your report, the executive summary. You say some very frank things about the social order in Japan and about the culture. Yeah. Have you had any negative feedback from that, negative response, criticism?
Yeah. I think first 1 week, since we launched both the Japanese and English version and also man-made and also like sort of unique in Japanese culture, and I first 1 week I expected fairly negative thing, and because pages of Japanese executive summary and English executive summary are similar sort of page number, not exactly the same, but content is different. And because, as I told you, Japanese, if you want to refer the text, it's there. But English, it was not there. That's the reason English executive summary is embracing everything we like to convey to the global audience so that at least two or three, maybe four, like Financial Times and Guardian and New York Times, maybe Bloomberg, criticizing you cannot blame social like the Japanese system or culture. But I think I expected all the media is not going to say anything good about anything, and they say something bad all the time. That's the media. So first week I expected that would happen. But later, I think that's even English executive summary become very positive comment, become much came. So if you block my website by Googling my name, I think recently there's a one blog posting said responsive media, and just I sort of connected a few of the negative one earlier, but more positive one later one. So thank you.
Hi, my name is Morris Cohen. I'm a AAAS Science Policy Fellow at the National Science Foundation. And I want to ask you about the role of science in the disaster. In particular, were there any sort of deficiencies in either technology or in scientific understanding of the impact of the tsunami or of the way the responders reacted to this or anything that, I guess, more scientific advancements could have helped with?
Yes, I think science communication and so like communicating with the public and also media is a very important issue in this disaster relief and also risk management. I know that. And even IAEA has how to communicate. This is a lesson from Three Mile Island. And there have been a lot of improvement how to communicate with the media and also science community. And also science community consists of individual scientists and certain association or society of one discipline, and also like science community at large, like National Academy and AAS and all the things. So how you communicate with the policymakers and also public and also at the time of risk management, that's there's no one solution and one right answer, but there's many exercise and many programs, and I think we are constantly aware of this communication and also social media and the major media. I know what you're talking about. So we invited Kevin Crowley a few times, what is the science society has to do with this and that. I think we are really learning that process, which is a bit behind. One of the issues is a language issue, I think you pointed out. I think Japanese has a very unique sort of hierarchical language has been inherently sort of incorporated. That makes difficult. So I think your point is very well taken. So I think personally I am thinking about some of risk communication and that kind of thing. I like to communicate more, but with a sort of global leadership, not just among Japanese.
Hi, my name is Gilbert Brown. I'm a Foster Fellow at the State Department working in nuclear energy safety and security. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm a professor of nuclear engineering at the University of Massachusetts in Lowell. And I heard you reference the Kemeny Commission report. Yeah. And, of course, Three Mile Island, I was a much younger professor then. It was a very real moment for us because we thought it was impossible, the events, just like perhaps the operators of the plants thought it was impossible to have a big wave. Just in the last couple of days, I read that Dr. Klein, our esteemed past chairman of the NRC and professor in Texas, is consulting with the TEPCO people, and they have now, at least what we read, say that if we had understood safety culture better, we would have done better. And not to say the tsunami would have happened, of course, but the results would have been different. And so I tie all this together because Three Mile Island and the Kemeny Commission led us in the United States to establish the Institute for Nuclear Power Operations.
Right.
INPO. That's not WANO, INPO.
Right, I know, right.
And ancillarily, the National Academy for Nuclear Training.
Right.
And so I just wonder, in your studies, did you address specifically an organization like INPO, which, if you aren't familiar, is not about regulation, it's about performance.
Yes.
Meeting regulations are a minimum, but INPO is about excellence. So can you comment on that?
Well, I think, in fact, I met with one of the vice presidents of INPO and also like INPO report on Fukushima report. Yeah. We read that's a very excellent technical assessment of this Fukushima accident. But also I went to IMPO and also made the historical background, how they govern now the utility companies. And I asked them, is this Japanese utility company a member? And they say yes. So they could come, and they know how IMPO has been changing since Three Mile Island, how they try to govern as a member of CEO, as a member. But I think they don't want to do that. I guess they knew it, but they didn't want to do it because I think 9 electric company has a regional monopoly. So that means why you do that? And I think that, so knowing, and also like METI, government knew it, how they did it, but I think they didn't want to push it over the last 30 years.
So do you think it's going to change now?
Well, I hope so, but I'm not so sure, because that's really up to Japanese government, and also to regain the trust of the global community is more important in my view. And to regain the trust of people and the government, and government in the global world. I mean, that's what it is. Right. You're right. I know. Right. That's our challenge, too. Right.
We just turn a second to my colleague, Steve Morrison, who also has a few questions.
Dr. Kurokawa, there's a couple of very striking aspects to this report. I mean, you draw a very sharp indictment of politics and culture in Japan, talk about collusion, irresponsibility, conformity, very strong language, very sharply worded. You call into the question the entire safety of the nuclear plant industry by saying that it was a earthquake and not a tsunami that triggered, the evidence suggests that Plant 1 suffered major damage, not from the tsunami initially, but you make the assertion that the evidence would argue. And if that's true, then that has a pretty sweeping implication in what this commission is suggesting about safety. And you appeal to a public in a way that hasn't been done in terms of saying, yes, this is, you're indicting culture, but you're appealing to that same public that you're accusing of being subject to unusual conformity, pressures of obedience and conformity, to break loose from that in a direct way. And you decided you would not suggest individuals or institutions for prosecution, but you very clearly walked up to the edge in the way that this was prepared. So two questions. One, how are prosecutors responding to this? Because you really deliberately set the stage. And secondly, how are the public, which the public has been bombarded by reports, and my guess is the public, as you've said, the media accounts have been both negative and positive in the way that they digested this, but you're talking about trying to appeal directly to a public that you feel was disturbed by what happened and that you're trying to connect to them. And my question is, did that actually work? And did the prosecutors respond in the way that perhaps that was part of the intent? Thank you.
It's not, I think we discussed that all the time in press brief. Media always ask, you're going to call for prime minister, all the thing. I said, no, we are thinking about it, but I have no answer. And at the end of this each session, and media often ask, what is your opinion? So I always, my response was, I showed you in 2-3 hours, so you write whatever you write. I have no comment, and that's how you think. And that is the role of media, because that's the virtue of just making our session open, although we are not used to question somebody, we are amateur in that respect, but at least you have to write what you thought, and because there's so many documentation already at that time published, so that is the role of media. And in fact, I think I really liked it started second meeting, that was in January, but I think this is completely open. So like one writer from non-Japanese media wrote a very nice article about in this openness of this commission, and this they never felt such openness on this any governmental official commission, and that kind of response is very important. So that I'm not talking about the judicial system, because we are saying this is facts-based, so that what kind of action taken would be the responsibility of a judiciary system, not our responsibility. That's the reason we can make it open. And we said, in TEPCO, we watched all the video, and there's not, somehow there are no voices when Prime Minister concert. I mean, that kind of process is... So if they want to do it, they have a special power to investigate. That's not us to recommend.
And how do you measure the response of the public? Is there been a survey?
No, that is another thing is the media. And also, I think there's another Bloomberg or New York Times, I think recently also I blogged this thing and linked it to my blog. It's maybe this may be some sign of changing Japanese public behavior. But it may take time. Even Three Mile Island, I mean, how many years you took effort to make this import thing more like independent and monitoring each other within this industry? And that's a very important thing, to be accountable to the public. Trust of the public is a very important issue. NRC is the same. And I think that if you look back, this is 30 years ago, and this report is just like quite similar to what Kemeny report stated. Yeah.
Thank you. Stephen Dolly. I'm a reporter with Platts. We're an energy news service. And Japan has now reconstituted a lot of its regulatory structure in the wake of the findings of your commission and other recommendations. A new nuclear regulatory agency has begun its work quite recently. Do you believe, based on the findings of your commission, that this agency, which in English is known as NRA, is emphasizing the correct issues to work on initially, including developing more refined guidelines for responding to such severe accidents should they happen in the future? Is that an appropriate first priority, do you believe, for the regulatory agency? Are there other issues that should be tackled sooner rather than later?
There are many, I think, measures taken. I think that's become more personal opinion of mine. But I think even the regulatory agency and operator and licensing, and that, I think, you should learn from how U.S. and U.K. and France and different countries making this licensing and training. And if you do that, I think at least you learn from other countries' efforts. Even you make all the rules and structures, it doesn't change the Japanese mindset. And so that is the reason nuclear and all the operations and business become more global. So at least you have to have more like global exchange and international exchange and other things. I mean, just whether that's any corporation and government become sort of accountable or just trustworthy when more aging and economies or whatever happens. I mean, that's my concern. Japanese government and the establishment are sort of somehow losing the trust by the counterpart of the global community in a way. So it's not an organization or changing this or that. I mean, if you do more rules and then they become more rigid and nothing happens, and that is an unpredictable global world. I think we begin to hearing some keyword in the last 2-3 years. I think you are like resilience. Why is that? Why everybody start talking about resilience? Before that, instead of resilience, what kind of word we are using? Strength, strong organization, strong governance. But why we are start saying like resilience? Because world become very flat and so connected. And everybody have now 80% of world population has access to mobile phone. Most mobile phone become smartphone, and all of a sudden the world become very fragmented. Like Arab Spring, European financial crisis, U.S. presidential campaign, all the thing, and Japanese governance, and many corporate governance become more like global. Otherwise, and also rather than from push to pull, I mean that's. All the change in paradigm is very unpredictable future. So I think whatever organization you run or you try to create, be it the government or corporate or academic institution, I think it's a human element. And so diversity and all the things. But I think Japan is not really diversifying over the last 20 years. So I think whatever your rules, that's fine. but how to execute, what is the value and the individual sort of value and function. It's not only seniority-based. That has to be merit-based. And this merit has to be valued by global peers. Otherwise, your organization would not really have a trust of the global community, in my view.
James Tsang. You used the phrase regulatory capture, and yeah. You also talked about made in Japan. Is there anything distinctive about Japan's structure and that makes its regulatory capture different from elsewhere? I suspect it is, and if it is, I want to know what you think makes a difference.
Right, regulatory capture. Why the ministry, all the staff and career sort of civil service? And why they get into this Ministry of Foreign Affairs, they go to the ladder in the seniority basis. Why is that? And you just pass only single track in one ministry, and this is a norm. And why is it? Once you get in Mitsubishi Bank, why you have to go through Mitsubishi Bank? And that is a mindset, isn't it? And this mindset refers to your policy and employment and social security and everything. And even so, that is very unique. So if this is a case, and regulatory capture that happens, and every 1 to 2 years, all the civil service shall rotate in the same ministry, and then like to postpone. I'm not going to take a risk of just this thing, just wait another year, just so I be positioned in different posts. And why you do that? Is that unique to Japan, or does that prevail in every other countries? I don't think so. Because you just build a career in different, perhaps, organizations, you could do that.
Because here, when you talk about regulatory capture, you're talking about people moving from company to government, and you don't see that.
Right. But at least you are accountable, and you have to report to that. So even you move to another institution, at least governance, your responsibility is clearly described as a job description, right? And so I think at least accountability, who is responsible and who are accountable, is reasonably defined. So I think that is a bit different.
Sure. Can you speak a little louder? Yes.
My name is Paul Gunter, and I'm with a public interest group in nuclear here in Washington. So we have, with regard to this issue of nuclear regulatory capture, we have our own NRC here in the United States.
Right.
That has been for decades mm-hmm. as revolving reform,
mm-hmm.
and these reforms are very specific.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, you take the issue of Three Mile Island,
mm-hmm.
But then the basic foundation of a captured regulator never really changes. There may be some modifications. There's some nuances in law,
mm-hmm.
but the regulator never gets to declare independence. In our view, that is true today. We are quite concerned, for example, that the one of the more striking lessons of Fukushima
mm-hmm.
was the loss of containment and the
right.
failure of the vents.
Right.
And we have 23 of these Mark I's here in the United
mm-hmm.
States, practically identical to Fukushima.
Right.
Yet, the NRC order that is currently in effect
mm-hmm.
for the weak Mark I containment and the venting system
mm-hmm.
that failed at Fukushima, those are all still in place here in the
right.
United States. And the order, which doesn't have to be effected until December 31st, 2016, explicitly writes out that the changes and the modifications on these Mark I's do not need to service post-fuel damage events.
Mm-hmm.
So the generation of hydrogen gas, the catastrophic release of radioactivity from reactor core, and breach of containment by failure of the Mark I,
mm-hmm.
these are not being addressed by mm-hmm. order today.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you is, what are the real elements that a regulator can have its independence day?
Well, I think that's a good question. I think every country, and particularly like nuclear, which has a sort of cliff effect with once disaster happens, that is a really disaster for long lasting. And I think at least we have to thrive and to make better systems. And I think there's no perfect system. I think it takes time, but also like more civil society movement, more interconnected world and social networking, all the things. I think we cannot predict, but I think I understand what you're saying. I think that's always the case. And regulator and the utility companies, the power, there's everywhere that political thing is, you know, it's there, but at least each individually and collectively, we have to strive for a better sort of society, whatever we do.
Can I just have a quick follow-up?
Yeah.
It appears, though, that the Japanese public have lost confidence in the concept of reform.
Mm-hmm.
The government of Germany has lost confidence in the concept of reform for this inherently dangerous industry.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge to gain that confidence is...
Right.
Mountain,
yes.
That
I agree.
That we are concerned is a journey into oblivion.
Right.
Without any real reform.
I know. Because I think I'm a Japanese and I'm spending 15 years in the U.S. as an individual, an independent individual, academic. So I see Japan's issue very well. And that's the reason I'm very much concerned about Japan. The trust, I mean, once you lose the trust, I mean, you have to do something. And that's the responsibility of the government, but also like individual civil sort of citizens should become aware of such an issue. Not, you know, not everybody, but I think like, you know, when I was in the U.S., for example, like at the end of Vietnam War and bought people the things and Japanese refused to accept them, I was as a Japanese, I felt, why you refuse that? I mean, that's we are part of Asia. And that kind of thing, if you live in Japan, you don't get this kind of... more patriotic or whatever the thing, you know, like scientists have no, science has no border, but scientist has homeland all the time. I mean, that's the thing. So I understand what you're saying. It's a really difficult issue, but there's always politics and just political thing. And I think, but things are changing, but I think I understand. I think nobody's perfect, but at least individually we have to strive for the better and just... for the common good or, the, or, you know, in the global world. So I understand, I think, what you're saying. So that's also, in my view, just I try to do that. And for Japan or for the rest of the world.
Sure.
Please. My name is Angie Howard. One of the key tenets that the United States has learned from Three Mile Island and also from Chernobyl was the aspect of continuous improvement and continuous learning.
Mm-hmm.
Three Mile Island showed us that there were precursors that we did not recognize, and therefore the whole system of analyzing events, but going the further distance of understanding what those events mean and sharing that information.
Mm-hmm.
And a key aspect of that is being able to accept that events do happen and the importance of fully analyzing that and sharing that information now today on a global basis.
Right.
How do you address that with the culture that you have talked about in your report?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you start that process of changing that culture within organizations within the Japanese government, both the regulatory agencies as well as the utilities?
Yeah. But I think I wrote in my comment somewhere, maybe preface, I think, because I think we have to understand the principle over the history. Accident happens, right? Machine breaks. Human make errors. I mean, this is three principles, and they tend to forget. And this is sort of black swan events, and the accident always happens. And that's, so they tend to forget, and then just sort of get into this safety culture somehow. But I think at least you have to expect that happens. But then I think you have to persuade certain risks. So another one is safety, safety, and that has been safety and safeguard has been one of the prevailing keywords over the last decade or so. But now I think paradigm is changing. Instead of safety, emphasizing safety, at least we communicate with the public with calculated risks. And when this happens, what do we do? I mean, that's the thing I think we have to share. I think public is not stupid, but at least we should be responsible to not to forget accident happens. Machine breaks, and the human makes errors. So we have to learn this thing and minimize, at least become resilient again. So not the strength, but the resilience and responsible. So I think that's become a very unpredictable world with 7 billion people interconnected and so fragile at the moment. And any thing could happen next year, in my view.
Joined by William Saito, you'd like to share some observations?
Thank you. So I was one of the early members for the commission, and I'm a scientist, but not a nuclear one. I was in charge of a lot of technology and the spinning up of the organizations. Some of the follow-on from that discussion on, I like the continuous improvement learning concept, and this is something that had benefited the commission greatly. And the very point about sharing information, I think, is really embodied with Dr. Kurokawa coming here at that very basis, that we did this in English and issued the report in English, that all the hearings were open, but not only that, they were simultaneously translated into English. In some cases, we had visitors from places like Russia, so the translation logistics was not minimal. But I think to see that, that we were very grateful for a lot of the well-written reports, everything from Three Mile Island to the Challenger reports to the BP disaster. And these really taught us about what disaster management was at a world level. And what this is, and really taught us how to even run the investigation, since we were all a bunch of novices coming into this and doing this and putting this together. But I think that Dr. Kurokawa here feels personally bound by duty and moral obligation to come here and really share what this report is so that we can give back and perhaps make that next report better. But I think the only thing I would add, at least in this round here, is that while the conclusions of this report were very, very important, and it was due to a really a triple disaster that was very tragic, the other aspect that I saw running the quote-unquote back office is that this is really a unique opportunity for Japan to create a new type of institution that we hope can be used over and over. You may have missed it on the first slide, but this is the very first in Japanese modern history, which is can't be emphasized enough, whereas in the States here, you do this many, many times. Maybe some people say too many times. And through that process, I hope that we would have two results, that we know and understand the reason for the accident, but we create this as an example for other investigations in the future to really change Japan. So this hopefully starts the ball rolling from an unfortunate incident, but hopefully changes starts the ball rolling for Japan in general.
Given the language, did you kill off the concept of a next independent commission in Japan?
All I can say is that Dr. Kurokawa set a high bar. I see my friend back there.
Sure.
Hello, my name is Sue Chemnitzer. I'm from the National Science Foundation. Thank you very much. Great. So, as you know, at National Science Foundation, we're interested in the research, of course, but also one of our primary goals is educating the scientists and engineers of the future. Mm. So may I ask you, how can we better educate our young people, both the scientists and the engineers, to be systems thinkers so they are able to cope with many of these uncertain factors, but also so they have the moral and ethical sense to speak up in a way that the policymakers and the business people can understand?
Mm-hmm.
I would appreciate your insights on that. Thank you.
That's a good question. In fact, that has been always a challenge because science community, I think from 1999, I think academies through academies, I think they're changing. A scientist is not only pursuing science, but also like more like responsibility to society. So science for society, science how to communicate, and also science for policy. These are sort of pledged by the science community at large. You know that. So over the last 10 years, I have been working with National Academy, Royal Society, all the things. And that's become an issue. And I think whenever we have many scientists appears and their complaints, usually like politicians don't listen, they don't understand science, all the things. But always I ask them, I see science also does a lot of politics in the academics too, right? So I always pose a question, if all the ministers are scientists and just can you govern? That's a different thing, right? So I think how to communicate, whatever seminar you make, that may not be relevant. I think it's really have to go through the process when you're young. So it's not a theory. There's many manuals and many theories and many case studies by business school, but you have to do it. And you have to do it, and you just sort of fail and miscommunicate. I think you have to learn. So that means another new paradigm, not from theory, but practice. You learn and become a better communicator. And so I think that's, I think young scientists and college students, and they go to the community, speak to different people. And I think that is another element, not on theory, but I think practice. That is any, also like nuclear accident, risk management, you have to practice all the time. And they do that. But in Japanese, tend to do everything in theory. But theory doesn't work when real thing happens. You have to practice, just like tennis, right? You have to practice. Watching video.
Go ahead, William. No. Carry on the sports meet, too. Yeah.
I would add to that science for young people is all about curiosity, and the fundamental nature of that is to ask questions. Right. And I think one of the failures here was to question the status quo and to question authority. And I think that as growing up scientists, one needs to continue to do that. So unless you have that underpinning, you can't talk about things like continuous improvement. And so these kind of things, unfortunately, Japanese education, you're actually taught not to question the teacher. But I think that's a fundamental, very dangerous thing to do. And what we need to really fall back on is, as scientists, what is our real firm initial goal in life.
Thank you. We're going to call this session to a close. I want to apologize to those in the foyer that we did not have enough space to bring you all into this room. There was a surge of RSVPs towards the end, and we were very constrained. We didn't have any alternatives. So I thank you for your patience, and I apologize if you felt only half here with us this afternoon. Dr. Kurokawa, William Saito, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us to share this today, and congratulations on the conclusion of this momentous report. And we hope to have you back again at a subsequent point to talk further. Thank you.
Thank you.